Welcome to More Than a Song. Our show's focus is on West Texas music singers and songwriters, offstage and on the air. I'm your host, Kerry Banks, with producer Chuck Luck. Today, we'll be talking with local musician Johnny Hughes, better known as Johnny Keys. Welcome to our show.
Thanks for having me, Kerry. I'm blessed to be here.
You were not born in West Texas, but you got here as quick as you could, right?
I did. That's right. Yeah, I spent the first almost 19 years of my life in Nacogdoches, Texas. Moved out to West Texas. Man, I love it.
What brought you to Lubbock, Texas?
Well, there's this place out in Hockley County called South Plains College, and I met this man named Kerry Banks. And he convinced me that South Plains had the tools and the teachers that could take me further in my musical journey. And Kerry, I remember distinctly sitting in your office in the spring of 2011, just gotten done playing for you. And Michael Carraway was sitting in the doorway, and my parents were there too. You were very kind in your assessment of my playing, and you said, well, God has given you talents and gifts. Now you have to make a decision about how best to glorify him with those gifts. Just the verbiage you used and the way you talked to me about the responsibility of talent convinced me this was the place that I needed to go to better myself as a musician and as a man and as a performer and an artist. And so not only was South Plains the place to be, but Lubbock, Texas was the place to be.
When did you start playing the piano?
I started taking lessons when I was 9, but the reason I started taking lessons at all was because at the age of 3, my grandmother and I had gone to visit my great-grandmother in Center, Texas, about 45 minutes away from Nacogdoches. She had this upright Schillings piano. Her husband, my great-grandfather, had recently passed away, so we were visiting her. He had given her this piano for one of their anniversaries. I was playing on the piano, not playing a song, probably just making noise mostly, but she recognized something in the way that I was touching those ivories that made her decide she wanted me to have that piano whenever she passed away. So she told my grandmother, I want you to make sure that this happens. Whenever my great-grandmother passed away, my grandmother was very careful to make sure that that piano wound up in our possession. That happened about the time I was 9. I started taking classical lessons, and man, something just didn't click for me with reading notes. I understand and understood then where the notes fell on the staff, but I think it's some like focusing problem that I have. I don't want to sit there and go F-A-C-E, and it's just tedious in my mind for some reason. I would sit down and I would just play whatever I wanted to play. Open Arms by Journey instead of Fur Elise by Beethoven. Yeah. So my parents recognized that, decided we don't need to keep paying for lessons when he's not going to practice what the teacher asked him to practice. He's just going to do it on his own. About the time I quit taking classical lessons, this guy named Stuart Bryant, he was a 24-year-old college student at Stephen F. Austin, and he came and he played at our church one Sunday. He wasn't using any sheet music. He was just kind of going on and doing his own thing. My dad went, hey, this might be a really cool mentor for my son. I was 12 at the time. Stu started coming over to our house for about an hour every Friday, and we would just jam. He would break things down for me like, this is a C chord, this is an F chord, this is an A minor chord. Things that I'd been picking up on, but I didn't know how to call them by name. I learned how to play a slip note because he taught me Last Date by Floyd Kramer. That journey kind of took me through high school. So I had a bunch of knowledge that I didn't really know how to sort through and where to put it, but I had some pretty good motor skills in my hands. Anyways, that was the journey up to South Plains and taking lessons with you and taking lessons with Wade McNutt.
Explain the slip note. Of course, the famous slip note came from the great Floyd Kramer.
If you've heard of a grace note is a really quick note adjacent to the note you're intentionally trying to make prominent. The deal with a slip note is you use a grace note in the lower range and you play a harmony up top. Another great one is The Beginning of Desperado by the Eagles. That very first note that you hear on the piano is a slip note.
It's a blink, blink, blink.
Yeah, yeah. There you go. That's much more articulate than I said it.
In technical terms.
Yeah, yes. Blink, blink, blink.
You first started performing in the church.
The very first time I ever played was in the First Church of the Nazarene in Nacogdoches, Texas. I played Swing Low, Sweet Chariot. I was probably 10 years old whenever I played that very first time. Well, shortly thereafter, you know, our stereotypical church lady pianist, she and her husband left our church. We didn't have a piano player. So here I am, this awkward middle school aged boy, and our head worship leader asked me to play piano for our church. And we didn't have a drummer. We didn't have a bass player. We didn't have a guitarist. Our worship time was dependent on the piano. If I messed up, if that piano was off, then everybody was off.
Were you playing mostly hymns then?
Yeah, lots of hymns. Fortunately, they had a hymnal that had all the chord symbols up above the staff. I kind of got my way because I had a little leverage being the only pianist that I could go, could we do three hymns? And then could we introduce this Casting Crown song? Could we introduce next week this Hillsong song? Tried to kind of push our very traditional little East Texas church a little bit further along into the contemporary worship realm.
Did you have a secular band as well?
I did. It's funny, Carrie. I had a pop punk band in high school, and I very rarely ever played keys. We wrote most of our songs in the style of like Blink 182, Newfound Glory, and Dashboard Confessional, all these types of pop punk bands. I was the singer just because I was the only one of us in choir or had ever had any kind of singing training. I'm trying to bury those recordings. Like, I don't particularly want those to be found, but it was a great experience learning how to book a gig and how to coordinate with other band members. How do we come to rehearsal prepared and how to get through band fights and make creative decisions and, you know, those types of things. I'm thankful for those years. I'm enjoying the professional realm a little more.
And you picked up some guitar skills along the way.
I actually didn't pick up the guitar much until South Plains because I just didn't really have great access to any teachers in East Texas. And then whenever I moved here, it was so accessible the way the commercial music degree plan was set up where I had some electives I needed to take. So I took a class with Mark Walney. He taught me G, C, D, E minor. I worked so hard getting those shapes under my hands, but I knew it would be valuable because you can't always set up a piano. You can't always set up a keyboard. You can haul a guitar with you, and if you can get those shapes under your belt, you can accompany yourself in any environment.
Johnny, I really love your song, Lady. Let's listen to a little bit of it.
Gentle lady, what's your name? You're alone, ain't that a shame? I've been waiting here so long. Can I please sing you a song? Captive lady, who's to blame? Who's been dressing you in chains? Maybe I can set you free. Maybe dancing holds the key. What's a man and woman got to do? Yeah, it's awkward now, I know. I'm for trying. Try it while we can. Won't you take a chance on me? My sweet lady, where's your pain? You and I, we are the same. Now we're walking down this road. No more walking all alone. Now we're walking down this road. No more walking all alone.
We'll be right back to continue our conversation with Johnny Keyes on More Than a Song on 89.1. Welcome back to More Than a Song. We're speaking today with Johnny Hughes. You were a phenomenal student at South Plains College. What was your biggest takeaway from South Plains College?
There's so many. If I had to boil it all down to one thing, as an artist, it was basically don't let your skills as a musician get in the way of what the song is trying to say. The very first day of rehearsal in Thursday Night Live, we had a great team that year. We got in there and we started playing all over the top of each other. I think we were playing Fancy by Reba McEntire. We were all trying to show just how good we were and how much we deserved to be in that band. Wade McNutt was instructing us. He stopped us and he said, all right, y'all got to stop. You can't even tell what's going on. Keyboard's trying to show how good he is and the guitar player's overplaying and harmony vocals aren't even blending at all with one another, much less the lead vocalist. How's the listener supposed to know what they're supposed to take away from the song? I've really tried to think hard about, yeah, okay, I could play this run, but is it really essential to telling the story this song is trying to tell? Or, yeah, I could play this really well, but the lick that that guitar player has is way stronger and serves the song a lot better. That would be the biggest takeaway, I think.
And you applied all of that training and knowledge when you start composing your own songs. Where do they come from?
I believe that in its purest form, music is meant to connect human beings. I think it's supposed to be a way that we express differences and express our hearts and then hope that maybe that connects with somebody else who's been through something similar. Maybe they have in the past or maybe they will in the future. I write from the things that I've been through or the things I'm going through. There was a pretty good period there. I had recently broken up with somebody that I thought I was going to propose to. For 3 years, I was waiting for the right person to come along, and thank God she finally did. But in those 3 years while I was waiting, I would write song after song, sometimes just for myself, sometimes hoping other people might latch onto it because they're tired of waiting, whether it's on a spouse or just waiting on what's next in their career or what's next in life. And sometimes it was a song of worship to the Lord, or sometimes it was just a hopeful love song. I've heard stories of how people connected with that in ways that I didn't even anticipate, in ways that I might define as difference of interpretation, but then in other ways, to them, it might be exactly the same. Like, we've been through the exact same thing. Billy Joel actually said, when you write a song for the needs that you experience within yourself, you write for people who have felt those same needs and those same desires in their hearts. And I just think that that's a beautiful philosophy for songwriting.
Your style of playing and writing literally goes from Texas country to jazz. What do you listen to mostly?
Growing up, I listened to classic rock primarily. Very rarely ever listened to country music until I moved to West Texas. I mean, it was a way of life at that point. Jonathan Sines was in the same class as me, and he's with Flatland Cavalry now. And a lot of the guys that I played with, they were going, we want to play country music. We want you to play with us. So learn how to play country music. I listened to the Eagles a lot, Boston, Journey, Chicago, Def Leppard. Van Halen was a major influence growing up, and I still listen to those guys. The Eagles are still my favorite band. To speak to some of the jazz ones, I love Gregory Porter, Jamie Cullum, Sinatra, and Nat King Cole, and, you know, those classic guys. And now I'm listening to people like Corey Wong, who isn't a piano player. He's a rhythm guitarist, but the way that he puts together music, I think, is fascinating. Of course, listen to George Strait, Keith Urban, Brad Paisley, and the Texas country guys, Josh and William Clark Green and Aaron Watson, those guys.
Along the way in your career, you adopted the stage name of Johnny Keys. How did that come about?
Back to South Plains, Cody Angel and I were roommates.
I'm sorry. And you survived.
I did. Oh, man, just barely.
He's an incredible talent.
He is, and became such a good friend in those years, and really was the one who introduced me to the Maines Brothers. I was aware of you guys, but I not heard y'all's music very much. Cody and Lloyd are very tight. Anyways, Cody and I were in TNL together as well. One day, he just started calling me Johnny Keys. Honestly, I think it was about the same time as Johnny Manziel. Johnny Football was a thing. And so I think that that kind of mindset was fresh on everybody's mind. A&M has Johnny Football. South Plains has Johnny Keys. And I fell in love with it. I kind of like try to shrug it off. But honestly, I think it's kind of like a fake humility kind of thing. Because I'm like, yeah, I am Johnny Keys.
At this point, you are highly involved with First Baptist Church of Lubbock.
Currently, I am the Worship and Arts Associate at First Baptist Church. I'm on pastoral staff and meet with our staff on a weekly basis to pray and make decisions about the life of our church. But about 10 years ago, I was just a member of our college ministry. I was going South Plains as a student, and I would drive from Livingland to Lubbock to go to Paradigm and go to 930. I was just involved in the life of our church. After my freshman year, our head worship pastor, Ken Drawn, moved to Lubbock from Plano. Figured out what I was studying, figured out that I was a musician around town. We had an elderly lady that was playing piano for us at the time, and she was very sick. She was so gracious whenever I came on the team after he recruited me. She knew that she was passing the torch, and so she wanted to be invested and involved in that and would encourage me and give me opportunities to play out as I was kind of playing second piano to her at the time of transition. She sadly passed away only about 3 months after I started playing. So at that point, I started playing just about every service we had. There is another fellow at our church named Charles Whitehead who plays for our traditional service. And he's an incredible piano player from New Zealand, actually. So anyways, we kind of trade responsibilities sometimes. After about a year of just playing at our church, I started experiencing a call to ministry. I was in school at Wayland Baptist University to finish my bachelor's degree. And so I was taking theology classes, kind of sticking my toe in the water with spiritual formation and doctrine and all those types of things, and felt like maybe God's calling me to something in the local church. not as a way out of the hardships of the music industry, almost like the music industry would be an accessory to home base at the church and in local ministry. I told that to Ken, our head worship pastor, and he walked with me through it. I became an intern, and then a year later, I became part-time, and then a year later, I became full-time. A few years later, joined pastoral staff. It's been quite the journey, and it's been interesting to see how God has put all those pieces together, but I've never been so sure that that's what my lifelong calling is. Essentially provide an avenue for people to communicate to God through song.
Johnny, I really like your song, Yes Sir, instrumental tune that was included on the Lubbock Music Now 2022 CD. Features a lot of your friends playing. Let's give it a listen. We'll be right back to continue our conversation with Johnny Keyes on More Than a Song on 89.1. Welcome back to More Than a Song. Our guest today is Johnny Keyes. What is your assessment of the West Texas music mystique?
It is a mystique, for sure. Growing up in East Texas, we got good music out there. But man, there's just something in the water, or I guess dust in West Texas. It's amazing. I mean, it's just so inspiring. At one point, I was contemplating moving to Nashville. And this was before I moved out here, actually. I thought Nashville might be the place to be. After spending 12 years here now, it didn't take me long to realize it's just such an inspirational place. It might have something to do with the lack of mountains and the lack of trees that causes us to dig into ourselves and then to invest in the lives of other people, that causes us to express these feelings in art and music and just in relationship. There's just not anywhere as saturated with talent as Lubbock, Texas, as far as I can see. Instrumentally and then songwriters, it's just unbelievable.
You have been pretty much a mainstay on the Lubbock Music Now CDs, and you've become a vital part of the West Texas community.
One of my favorite things lately has been the studio work out at Route 1 Acuff with Alan Crossland, and then getting to do some stuff with an amusement park out with Scott Ferris. Getting to work alongside those guys to learn from them. I was actually doing a project with Alan out at Route 1. He thought that I needed to play some Hammond on a few tracks, and I went, okay, I don't know exactly what I'm doing with that, but maybe I can fake my way through it. He said, Scott has a B2 in his studio. We're going to rent his studio for the day, and we're going to use it. Scott said, hey, you take to that pretty well for having never done it before. Are you interested in doing that more? And I learned kind of on the spot. So I love doing that work. You're all the time hearing new artists and hearing fresh songs and fresh interpretations of life and getting to have some kind of investment in that outcome. And I think that that's a beautiful partnership. It's a really cool thing to be involved in the musical scene of Lubbock, Texas.
Well, you've met and worked with a lot of West Texas musicians. One in particular was a very talented young lady who plays the violin.
Yeah, playing a few years ago at the Cactus Theater, I was hired for a gig that I didn't think I was going to be able to make. I was actually in South Texas on a mission trip with our church. I got a call from Don Caldwell, and he said, hey, this show that's coming up next week that you turned me down for, I really need you to be there. We'll do whatever we got to do to make it happen for you to be there. So he moved some rehearsals around that opened up my availability, and I showed up, and there was this really cute fiddle player also on the gig. And we didn't get to talk just a whole lot. We were playing with local boy Richie McDonald of Lone Star. And then a year went by, got a call from Hannah Jackson asking me to come play keys on her next show at Cook's Garage. Showed up to rehearsal for that gig, and lo and behold, this cute fiddle player was there again. Between sets, the fiddle player and I got to talk for a little bit. I was trying to put a move on her, and I think it might have worked. She might tell you that it didn't, but obviously at some point it did because we're married, and we have been married for a year now. So,
and she's phenomenal.
Yeah, she got her doctorate in violin performance. The other was music theory. The fact that she accomplished all of that, not only does she have the terminal degree in the classical realm, she's got some pretty good fiddle chops too. She grew up playing in fiddle competitions in the Midwest, in Kansas, and so.
And so now you are both part of the West Texas music scene. What do you see the current state of the music scene here in Lubbock, and where do you think it's going?
I think it's healthy. I'm seeing a lot more opportunities. Even since the time that I started working out here, there are just so many more opportunities. It seems like Lubbock, Texas, even if you're not a musician yourself, the people of Lubbock are willing and ready to support you and to encourage you and to listen to your music. They're not just in it for the covers. Like, they genuinely want to hear your original art. I deeply appreciate that spirit about the people of Lubbock.
Well, speaking of singer-songwriter, we would like you to share one of your new songs with us live here in the studio. What are you going to play for us?
This is a new song called The Texan Farewell. Megan actually brought it to my attention that the citizens of Kansas don't do this. When they say goodbye, they mean it. I'm leaving your house. I am going home. When Texans say goodbye, what we mean is let's move our conversation from the dining room to the driveway and let's talk some more out there for a little while.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to hop in my car now. Let's keep talking with the windows rolled down until I finally pull out of your driveway in about an hour and a half. This is a song born out of that called The Texan Farewell.
There at the door stood our friends we'd invited. I grilled the steaks while my wife made the sides. Talked for hours till the moon had ascended, and somehow we lost track of time. Hugs were exchanged and their coats were collected. Now all that was left was to stand for a spell. Said so long, but no one really meant it, 'cause this was a Texan farewell. Good night for real, we've got to be leaving. Hold on, one more tale to tell. When you can't get enough of the good time you're having, just end on a Texan farewell. And then in the driveway, 16 stories later, the windows rolled up and our guests rolled away. But there in our hearts was the joy from the evening. Those memories, they're here to stay. Good night for real, we've got to be leaving. Hold on, one more tale to tell. When you can't get enough of the good time you're having, just end on a Texan farewell.
that you know come and go with the seasons. So love while you can, leave no fondness unfelt. Though life gives and takes, for those who know Jesus, we'll just say a text and farewell. Good night for real, we've got to be leaving. Hold on, one more tale to tell. When you can't get enough of the good time you're having, just end on a text and farewell. When you can't get enough of the good time you're having, just end on a text and farewell.
Ooh. Johnny Hughes, thank you for being on our show today. It's an honor to have you.
My pleasure, man. Thank you so much for asking me.
Thanks for listening to More Than a Song. I'm your host, Cary Banks. This show was produced by Chuck Luck. Today, our guest was Johnny Hughes, better known as Johnny Keys. Join us next Friday morning for More Than a Song at 10:30 on 89.1. For more information on More Than a Song, visit ttupublicmedia.org.